Chatsungalitam yena tajmai si gurubhinamaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master has opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I offer my most respectful, humble obeisances unto him. Srila Prabhupada ki. So we really made a lot of progress in Srimad Bhagavatam since my last visit, and always to the, almost at the end of the 10th canto. Will you be going on to the 11th canto? Always to the very end. So we're in chapter 82 already. Almost the beginning of the new chapter. Okay, 82. Krishna meets the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and I was told to speak on a whole group of texts. There's very little purport commentaries. Thank you. Frankly speaking, it's a little challenging for me to. What can I say about all this? I'm sure Pran Govinda Prabhu will come to the rescue with some background information, tying things together. Perhaps we'll have time to contribute something. But for myself, we'll see what we can do. So how should we do this? A lot of texts, many texts. Anyway, mostly I guess I'll. I guess what do? We can recite it together. Is that the idea? Everyone vote for that? Okay. So we'll start with text 3-6. Nikshatriyam mahim kurvan namakshastra britam varaham nipanam rudiraugenam yatra chakra maheradin ije cha bhagavan ramo yatratishto pikarmanam lokam sangrahayan isho yatanyo bihaputaye mahatyam tirta yatrayam tatra ganbarati prajaha vishnayascha tatha krura vasudeva huka dayaham yayur bharata tatchatram swam agam chappayishnavaham gada pradhuna sambhadyaham suchandra sukasaranai asti nirudo lakshayam krita varma chayatapaham. So I'm not even going to try all the word meanings. I'll just read the translation of that group of verses up to verse 6, 3-6. After ridding the earth of kings, Lord Parashuram, the foremost of warriors, created huge lakes from the king's blood at Samanta Panchaka. That's rather startling, isn't it? Although he is never tainted by karmic reactions, Lord Parashurama performed sacrifices there to instruct people in general. Thus he acted like an ordinary person trying to free himself of sins. From all parts of Bharatvarsha, a great number of people now came to that Samanta Panchaka on pilgrimage. O descendant of Bharat, Among those arriving at the holy place were many Vrishnis, such as Gada, Pradyumna, and Shamba, hoping to be relieved of their sins. Akrura, Vasudev, Ahuka, and other kings also went there. Aniruddha remained in Dwarka with Suchandra, Shuka, and Shravana to guard the city, together with Kritavarma, the commander of their armed forces. Very short BBT purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Sri Krishna's grandson, Aniruddha, remained in Dwarka to protect the city because he is originally Lord Vishnu's manifestation as the guardian of the spiritual planet, Svetadvipa. Hmm. Let's see, what should I do? We'll just read through the whole thing and then we'll come back and make a few comments. So text 7 and 8. Teda tar deva dishnya bair hayascha tarala plavahai gajai nadabir abrabair nirbir vidya dara jubihi vyaro chanta mahatejam pati kanchana malinaham divya shragvastra sanaha kalatrai ke chara iva. What happened, Madan Mohan? It wasn't posted. It's too fast for you. Okay. Translation. The mighty Yadavas passed with great majesty along the road. They were attended by their soldiers, who rode on chariots rivaling the airplanes of heaven, on horses moving with a rhythmic gait, and on bellowing elephants as huge as clouds. Also with them were many infantrymen as effulgent as celestial vidyadharas. The Yadavas were so divinely dressed, being adorned with gold necklaces and flower garlands and wearing fine armor, that they proceeded along the road with their wives, that as they proceeded along the road with their wives, they seemed to be demigods flying through the sky. Ready for text 9? You can chant again. Tatra snatva mahabhaga uposya susamahitaha brahmanebhyo dadur denur vasya shragrupma malinaha. Translation. At Samanta Panchaka, the saintly Yadavas bathed and then observed a fast with careful attention. Afterward, they presented brahmanas with cows bedecked with garments, flower garlands, and gold necklaces. Text 10. Rama radeshu vidivat punar aplutya vishnayaham dadu saranam yam krishne no bhaktir aspiti. Translation. In accordance with scriptural injunctions, the descendants of Vrishni then bathed once more in Lord Parashuram's lakes and fed first-class brahmanas with sumptuous food. All the while they prayed, may we be granted devotion for Lord Krishna. Purport. The second bath marked the end of their fasting on the following day. End of purport. Text 11. Svayam cha tananu gyatam Vishnaya Krishna devataha bhuktvo pavirishu kamam Snigna Chayangri Pangrishu. Translation. Then, with the permission of Lord Krishna, their sole object of worship, the Vrishnis ate breakfast and sat down at their leisure beneath trees that gave cooling shade. Okay, two texts, and that's the end of this group that I'm supposed to speak about. Tatraga tantitadishu suri sambandino nripan matsyo shinoda kosalya vidarba kuru sinjayan kamboja kakayan madran kuntin anartha karalan anyams chaivatma pakshiyan padams cha chattaso nipam nandadin surido gopan Gopishchatantasiram. Translation. The Yadavas saw that many of the kings who had arrived were old friends and relatives. The Matsyas, Ushinaris, Kosalyas, Vidarbhas, Kurus, Srinjayas, Kambojas, Kaikayas, Madras, Kuntis, and the kings of Anartha and Kedala. They also saw many hundreds of other kings, both allies and adversaries. In addition, my dear King Parikit, they saw their dear friends, Nanda Maharaj, and the cowherd men and women who had been suffering in anxiety for so long. There's no purport. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So the main, the kind of the broad perspective here is the importance of hearing Krishna Katha. There's sometimes impediments. The main impediment is that we're contaminated. It's compared in Upadeshamrita, if somebody has jaundice, they can't appreciate the sweetness of sugar. Even though that rock candy or infused sugar is, according to Ayurveda, I suppose, is the cure for jaundice. And if you keep taking it, then it starts to have a nice taste. And then you know you're getting cured. So what is this bitterness? This bitterness is partially that we are conditioned by having a material body in the first place, and then we have so many different types of, say in this case, human bodies, and each human body has a particular upbringing. We've been exposed to different samskaras. It doesn't only mean specifically auspicious ritualistic ceremonies, like the Jews have bar mitzvah, and the Catholics have a confirmation, is that what it's called? And other, at the time of birth, at the time of death, marriage, of course. Hare Krishna. There's so many moments, but in a broader sense, samskara also means that you can have like nonsense samskaras also. I mean, they're just impressions on the mind. So a big impression we have is what Rabindra Sarupa refers to as the enlightenment consensus. Just this very kind of external positivistic view of reality. Of course, things are changing a little bit, but basically people are very much affected, very much impressed. Even mainstream religions become very, very impressed with modern science. And then we become skeptical, to say the least. Not only do we become skeptical, but it's our kind of built-in mindset or paradigm. So even if we've been trying to become devotees of God in any tradition, or specifically devotees of Krishna in the Vaishnav, Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition, we're trying to kind of like change mental bodies in a sense. We're trying to divest ourselves of our old mental clothing and put on new mental clothing. So we can hear these things and not become distracted or, insecure, we can say, by all the cries of mythology. You know, come on, we're in the 21st century. How can you believe these things? This is screaming in our ears, but we very patiently tried to give ourselves the opportunity to convert in a very fundamental sense to a different mindset based on hearing from authority. It's a different epistemology. I know I always like to talk about that subject, and I won't belabor the point today, but it's basically that we're not basing our ideas of reality on facts and incidental correspondence with words, with what's there in the external world. Rather, we've learned to question the very reality of the constantly changing names and forms of this material world. But then here we're hearing things that sound so similar. And then we get a little Platonic, we can say. Well, Platonic is a little, Plato is a little Vedic, in the sense that we understand that there is eternal reality. So anyway, I'll just run through whatever I was able to put together here. The main thing is hearing, that it's good for us, even though we intellectually or mentally, some of us may still have some hesitation. So just accept that this is true, that this is, even on this planet 5,000 years ago, that these things were going on. And that even before that, millions of years ago, an incarnation of the Lord, Parashuram, Panchasamantaka, is that what it's called? The five lakes made out of blood. Now, hopefully it wasn't still blood by the time the Vrishnis and Yadu Vrishnis and, what to speak of, Krishna himself were bathing in. I don't know if Krishna bathed. To relieve themselves of sin, we hear that if they're still existing even today, we don't expect to find it filled with blood. It sounds ghastly. It sounds tamasic. So we kind of go both ways. We want to accept it. We want to hear it. We know it's good for us to hear these things. It's Krishna Katha, but at the same time, it's bewildering. So we're not alone. Queen Kunti ecstatically declared, Naveda kaschit bhagavam shakir shitam, tave hamanasya nridam vidam vanam, nayasya kaschit daitos dikar jichit, vishasht yasmin vishama matir nridam. 8th chapter, 1st canto, text 29. O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and are so misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. That context. So misleading. Why is God trying to mislead us? Well, the idea is that he can come to this earth. He can take a human-like form. Say man was made in the image of God. So his original form, human. And he performs these pastimes, which, as Queen Kunti says, they appear to be human, but they're so misleading. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, abhijananti mam buddha manusim tanumashtita. They don't know my actual position. For the Lord to come, when he comes in this world, he takes a human-like form. He's not a species of, biological species. Even the very word incarnation could be misleading because it implies carne or flesh. We don't go that way. So despite the mysterious nature of Lord Krishna's, quote, janma, or his so-called birth, and his so-called karma, or so-called work, and whether we understand them or not, so long as we don't aggressively misunderstand. Aggressively misunderstand means we come in with the idea it just can't be, and we don't open our hearts, we don't open ourselves to accept what great, great sages and great spiritual authorities over the millennia have accepted. Wonderful, great, saintly, learned personalities accept these accounts and glorify them and know that they are beneficial to hear. So we have to be a little humble and go with them and not go with Stephen Hawking and Richard Dawkins and people like that. Aside from butchers and suicide cases, Srimad Bhagavatam 10, canto, 1st chapter, text 4, who will not take advantage of such, quote, medicine? The famous verse of these descriptions, they're the right medicine for those in a diseased condition. We're talking about conditioning. So what is the disease? The disease is called bhava. Bhava means samsara, repeated birth and death, the disease of materialism, the disease of being obliged to accept a body made out of temporary changing matter, even though we're eternal spirit souls. This is not a natural condition. So what is the medicine for it? It's Krishna Katha. It's hearing about Krishna. Babo Shadi, Strotram Manobira Nam. What is it? Next line. Uttama Shloka Gnarnuva Nam Uman Virajeta Vina Pashugna. Who would a butcher? A butcher means Pashugna, one who kills animals. A butcher. He would had to have the proper, he's so contaminated that he would not want to listen to the glories of the Lord. And well, one who's killing his own self, why killing one's own self? Because if we don't, in the human form of life, we're supposed to be cultivating self-realization. We're supposed to be understanding who we are. And if we don't do it, we're called dvipadu pashu. We're like a two-legged animal. So we're actually, if we don't cultivate, then we're atmaha, we're killer of the soul, in the sense that we're allowing the soul to remain hidden from our minds and our senses. And in other words, the soul remains dormant, just like in the body of an animal, a cat or a dog, whatever animal, the soul is there, just like the soul is here. But the animals have no access to the soul. In human form of life, we have access to who we really are. And if we don't, then we're no better than an animal. So therefore, we're also Pashugna. We're also animal killer, because we're killing ourselves and we're animals. This was explained. If we ever wondered about that one who killing himself, is that all right? Okay. So, all right. In this regard, we should not put the cart before the horse. What do I mean by that? For instance, we are hearing about lakes of blood that still exist, at least as watery reservoirs, and that these were excavated by Lord Parashuram. So we may not at first or even now have the ability to conceptualize how this is possible, indeed how, according to Shastra, it must be true. Nevertheless, we should not make the mistake of stopping our hearing, blocking our ears, in order to wait until we intellectually understand all the amazing, fantastic, and ultra-heroic feats of the Lord and His innumerable incarnations. Just said a mouthful. Take a little water. I read my own notes. Saves time. Well, I try to extemporize, but reading is, it works also. We would only be cheating ourselves if we stopped hearing until we could rationalize it in our mind. We'd only be cheating ourselves. Indeed, we would be killing our own soul. There is also the well-known warning in second canto, I guess it's Sutta Goswami, third chapter, 20th birth. Vilaye bataru krama vikramam ye nashin vata karna pute narasya jivarsati darduri keva sutta nacho pakayat yurugaya gataha. One who has not listened to the messages about the prowess and marvelous acts of the personality of Godhead and has not sung or chanted loudly the worthy songs about the Lord is to be considered to possess ear holes like the holes of snakes and a tongue like the tongue of a frog. Kokato, kokato, kokato. So it says he's just inviting the snake of death. Come eat me. We also have a name for it in Sanskrit. It's called prajalpa. It means unnecessary talks about mundane things. Because why are we inviting the snake of death? Because we're wasting time. And death is coming closer and closer and closer, just like a snake, ready to swallow us up. And finally, as stated earlier in this canto, the 69th chapter, 45th verse, Lord Hari is the ultimate cause of universal creation, maintenance, and destruction. My dear King, anyone who comes about who chants about, hears about, or simply appreciates the extraordinary activities he performed in this world, note the word extraordinary, which are impossible to imitate, that person will surely develop devotion for the Supreme Lord, bestower of liberation. And we heard even the Lord's, in his pastimes, his relatives were praying in these sacrifices. What they're really looking for was just devotional service, love, and concentrated attention on Krishna specifically. Then, if I can get this out quickly, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has written a commentary. I was just in India, and I purchased the whole set, except Canto 10, which we already got from Mahanidhi Swami, of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentary. And I experienced some separation because my luggage got misplaced. And then they finally delivered the luggage, and they delivered someone else's luggage. So it was like, I was thinking, oh, Chris is making this arrangement, what is it? I felt terrible. I also got a really thick book by Srila Jiva Goswami, which is, we have to be very careful as we read it. It's called Gopal Champu. And that was also in there. So maybe I'm not qualified to read Gopal Champu. Krishna took it away. And then just as I was leaving Miami, I checked one more time just for closure, just to confirm that it was lost, it was stolen. And then they said, oh, no, we have your bag. So we made a detour and we went back to the airport. I was with Kardama Muni Prabhu, and we picked it up. So now we have all this nectar. Anyway, this was already there. I already had this. It's available in Kindle also. You can get it as an ebook, the 10th Canto commentaries. So I'll read the verse again. Lord Hari is the ultimate cause of universal creation, maintenance, and destruction. My dear King, anyone who chants about, hears about, or simply appreciates the extraordinary activities he performed in this world, which are impossible to imitate, will surely develop devotion for the Supreme Lord, the bestower of liberation. Commentary by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Krishna's human-like, as we were talking about, as Queen Kunti mentioned, nirnam vidambanam. It's bewildering. They seem so human, yet they're misleading. Krishna's human-like pastimes are not meant only to liberate mankind from the material world, but also to bestow prema bhakti upon one and all. Krishna causes the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe. The term ananya vishayani may indicate that Krishna performed activities in Dwarka that were unusual even for his plenary expansions, to say nothing of others. Or the term can be understood to indicate that Krishna performed these activities for the sake of his pure, exclusive devotees. I was speaking yesterday Thomas Smith Prabhu. We say Prabhu, that means master. The devotee is supposed to consider everyone his master. So I say, it's Thomas Smith Prabhu. And I was mentioning this very special situation where I was kind of harping on this last time, that in this particular day of Lord Brahma, Krishna comes in his original form. That only happens 1 in 1,000 Kali Yugas. This is so special. So there are some very, very special things happening. The Bhagavatam is a history of the universe, but it also focuses very much on only, quote-unquote, 5,000 years ago, when Krishna personally appeared, not only as the Yuga avatar, but as original Svayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So you get this Kali Yuga, you get very, very, very special, intimate nectar, and Krishna Prema also, as Srila Vishnu is pointing out. So it says, the term can be understood to indicate that Krishna performed these activities for the sake of his pure, exclusive devotees. In any case, one who recites or hears Krishna's pastimes will attain Prema Bhakti for the Lord. Devotion for Krishna is obtainable to those on the path of liberation, apavarga moksha marge. Here, liberation means devotional service. Actually, liberation from material existence occurs even at the beginning of devotional service. So what is that? That's in the second stage of advancement in devotional service. It's actually very elevated, called Bhava Bhakti. What is that? Moksha Laguna Krit? Is that how you say it? Moksha Laguta Krit. Moksha Laguta Krit means it minimizes even the importance of liberation. Yes, the truth shall set you free. And we want liberation. We wrote, I didn't write it, but there was a compilation book. Srila Prabhupada had a lot of association with the Beatles, and especially George Harrison became devotee. And also John Lennon, he was a little bit more, a little whimsical in certain ways, but he also was favorable to a certain extent. And so a book, we had this book in 1980 when unfortunately John Lennon was assassinated. It was called In Search of Liberation. So liberation is there, but it's conventional. In any human civilization, it's supposed to be the conclusion of different goals. Chaturvarg. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Most of you know about this. So moksha means liberation. As Prabhupada points out, in modern civilization, people are obsessed with the middle two, with artha kam, get money and enjoy your senses. But there's also dharma, that getting of money should not be illegal or irreligious. It should be according to dharma. And then the money that one gets for sense gratification should be used also in a religious way. But ultimately, all this should conclude in moksha. But then there's also, what is it called? Panchamada Purushartha. There's a fifth goal, and that's love of God. And that's especially available in this particular Kali Yuga. Even though Kali Yuga is the worst age, but not only do we have the good fortune to be born in one in a thousand Kali Yugas, but also 42. If you divide 420,000 into 10,000, it's only 1 in 42 chance, on top of that 1 in 1,000 chance, that we're in the golden age of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya also appears when Krishna appears. So this is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's kind of indirectly, he's telling us to take advantage of this amazing opportunity, even beyond liberation. That doesn't mean devotees aren't liberated. It's natural, but already there included. But the idea is to cultivate love of God, love of Krishna. And it doesn't only mean I love God because he's liberating me, or I love God because he's giving me my daily bread. I love him. What did Prabhupada say at Ohio State University to the students when he was sharing the platform with Allen Ginsberg? He said, oh my, please give us our daily bread. Prabhupada said, that is not love of God, that is love of bread. The students cracked up, they thought it was very humorous. Not that Srila Prabhupada didn't have any appreciation for that, but it's not complete. It's just on the way towards the ultimate goal of all religious practice, which is not only to become saved, not only to become freed from material entanglement and become liberated and not have to continue in birth and death, but to love God. That's the, as a panchama, that's the fifth real goal of life, the ultimate goal. And that's available in this Kali Yuga as never before, except going back 1,000 Kali Yugas. Now, that's not 1,000 years, that's 1,000 times, what is the total? 4,320,000 years is the duration of a yuga cycle. And then you multiply that by, it's really incredible. Our good fortune is off the scale, as we say. We also hear many encouraging messages within the Bhagavatam regarding the great blessing. Anyway, this is all about hearing. And there are many other references which I don't have time to go into. I'll just read something about hearing, just a purport to Canto 2, Text 1, Text 15. That's the verse. With sword in hand, intelligent men cut through the binding knots of reactionary work, karma, by remembering the personality of Godhead. Therefore, who will not pay attention to his message? In the Bhaktivedanta purport to this verse, we also hear, the contact of the spiritual spark with material elements creates a knot which must be cut off, must be cut if one wants to be liberated from the actions and reactions of fruitive work. So not that it's bad to want to be liberated, but again, there's even more. Liberation means freedom from the cycle of reactionary work, karma. This liberation automatically follows for one who constantly remembers the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, which we're trying to do in these classes. This is because all the activities of the Supreme Lord, his Leela, are transcendental to the modes of material energy. They are all attractive spiritual activities, and therefore constant association with the spiritual activities of the Supreme Lord gradually spiritualizes the conditioned soul and ultimately severs the knot of material bondage. So we can reestablish our lost loving relationship with the Lord. Liberation is automatically included. Now getting just briefly going through these texts again that we heard at the beginning. After ridding the earth of kings, Lord Parashuram, the foremost of warriors, created huge lakes from the king's blood at Samantaka Panchaka. And we just heard in the previous purport, long before their time, Lord Parashuram had done penance at Kurukshetra to atone for his killings. Samanta Panchaka, the five ponds he dug there, were still present at the end of Dwarpa Yuga as they are even today. Now, although he's never tainted by karmic reactions, Lord Parashuram performed sacrifices there. Oh, this is the next text, or continuing this group of texts. He performed sacrifices to instruct people in general. Thus, he acted like an ordinary person trying to free himself of sins. And then, at this point, one could go into a whole lecture, which I won't do. I'll go into a whole lecture, a bit of a digression, but this point here, that in order to teach others, that point is emphasized a lot in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the text 25th text, 26th text, 29th text, and also when Krishna talks about himself in text 21, 22, 23, that great personalities, they have to provide the proper example. So because people in general, they still are involved in karma. They still, of course, in this Kali Yuga, we can't do that karma kanda activity very well. But in traditional culture, people in general, they had to atone. We still have to atone, but that's also included in the sublime chanting of the holy names of the Lord, which is invoking love of Radha and Krishna. But in general, people needed to atone. And Krishna also, just like Parashuram, he's setting the example to teach others. What to speak of Parashuram, we hear even about Lord Balaram, was instructed by Lord Balaram. He's on the altar. He's the last altar. It's Krishna's brother. And he's, for all intents and purposes, he's Krishna also. It's very hard to explain this, especially for someone who's just kind of beginning to study Krishna consciousness, but he's God, and even he is instructed by the Brahmanas, go to all the holy places and atone. And also to atone, we have this terrible demon which is bothering us. What was his name? Balvala or something. You kill him, please. So he did that. To atone, to set an example. He doesn't have to. And the Brahmanas knew that. He said, you don't really have to, but you should do it. at least to set an example for others. And that those who are Joshayat Sarvakarmani, Vidvan Yukta Samatra, and those who are actually Vidvan, those who are actually learned, they don't artificially get people to stop your fruitive activities, although they know that that's not in their best interest, but they can't artificially, people can't artificially stop their activities in this world. So what they do is they Joshayat, they dovetail these activities, the learned persons dovetail people's fruitive activities or selfish activities, and connect them with the interest of the Lord. In many churches, they call this tithing. It's one way you can do that. People want to continue their regular conventional lives, so let them at least surrender a portion of their fruitive result, say in the form of money, to the church or temple. So Parashuram acted as an ordinary person just to free himself from sin. And Krishna also says, if I did not carefully engage in performing duties, others would follow my example. That's in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So from all parts of Bharatvarsh, continued, a great number of people now came to that Samantapanchaka pilgrimage. I noted here that it's so amazing. And as Mataji, Govinda Mataji, was pointing out yesterday from her personal experience at Kumbh Mela in India, even today, because she was talking a few decades ago, but even today, throngs of pilgrims take great trouble to visit holy places, especially during auspicious times. I was in Bahulastami in Radhakund. It was overwhelming how many people were there. It's a little frightening. You get crushed in the crowd. Your feet go off the ground because the crowd just, you get lifted up. It's just unbelievable. You think you're going to get crushed completely. It's a good place, auspicious place to leave the body. You can't go where you, it's just, but the impressive thing is that so many people come. And not only local people, but people come from all over India, even people dressed in conventional clothing or Western clothing. They come and you see them. India is certainly the most religious country in the world. Throngs of people come. Unfortunately, sometimes there are accidents and people get crushed and there are stampedes or different things happen. But we don't miss for the forest for the trees. That doesn't in any way undo the great spiritual benefit that people get from taking this trouble. And then goes on, I won't go through all the text. We hear that Aniruddha remained in Dwarka with Suchandra Sukanshar to guard the city together with Kritavarma, the commander of the armed forces. So the material world, to try to maintain these temporary material bodies, were eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But spiritual activities or spiritual world, as we're hearing here, this is the original eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. It's not to maintain some material body, but just as Leela, just as pastime. So they're defending Dwarka. Dwarka has to be defended. Just like when we have our festivals, we leave some devotees back at the temple. I think my time is up now. Is that the idea? Okay, I'm getting all this indication. So anyway, there's a few more things I wanted to mention, but I hope I fulfilled my duty of saying a few things about these texts. Sorry, I didn't have more nectarian detail about it, and I didn't have time to leave Pran Govinda the opportunity. I'm very sorry. Even though the time's up, does anyone want to say something very briefly? Or any question? No. Okay. Thank you so much for your kind attention. Jagat Guru, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.